Blog Talk Radio.
It's what you want, boy. It's what you need, boy. We about to give you more.
That's been pent up inside for years. Exclusive type, only for your eyes and ears. You held it in for so long, you burst it into tears. The letter spills slowly across the page like a world premiere. We're lying, the bullshit begins here. The obvious cause, the effects is unclear. The punishment for crimes of the heart could be severe. Though to keep it on the low is a heavy cross to bear. You deep now, submerged with no signs of air. Still your sunken heart thumping like the kick in the snare. While on the surface, it's all turning to a circus. That's why you're nervous and you gotta right to be, cause if somebody would have done that shit to me, I mean my best man hitting my wife to be, my sentiments exactly would be history, you know what I'm saying, hey, my people's in a place, let's
y'all
know I'm
trying
to,
tell
me what y'all to do,
next four, it's time for all of your, see that's rock and rolls in your rolling rock, in your mind says the president just don't stop, 5, 6, get up inside the mix, 7, 8, no time to hesitate, so let's rock and roll.
Nothing changed, it's all the same thing. The same characters in the book with different names. It's a lot more to lose than you got to gain. You a lot more confused than hip to the game. To beat the script to the game, the price is pain. Men and women get into things, now who's to blame? When everybody whispering about whatever took place and how the fact was denied with a straight face. Them lies hard to swallow from the bitter taste, but that's a point in the past that can't be erased. So motivate, though it's hard to let it ride or set aside true feelings. Underhand dealing, a lost trust. I wonder if we lost us. It's bigger than me and you, it's monstrous. So I'ma just calm down and shot or relax before I clap the hammer, then the hammer I tap. Count on 2,
it's
tell
what
me what
you
y'all
want,
to do. 3, 4,
it's
time
for
all
your.
Suggest
rock and roll, sing your vote and rock. Sing your mind, says the president
just don't stop. 5, 6, get up inside the mix. 7, 8, no time to hesitate.
Back and undo our actions, change what happens, dissect the fractions, a time to rewind and be recorded absent, for real, cause these memories is photographic, pornographic, pushing me close to madness, head heavy like I'm tripping on acid tablets, yesterday as I recall was all fabulous, I thought so, but now I feel like shots hitting my torso, spent a lot of time and trust in the wrong place, fought a lot of fights, rolling with the wrong ace, love, stronger than pride, weaker than disgrace, I need room to think and space. But solid as a rock shall not disintegrate. Thoughts racing like they lunatics on the interstate. Real, yeah. My people's in the place, tell me how to
start. 1, 2, tell me what y'all to do. 3, 4, it's time for all yours. To just rock and roll, then you're rolling rock. Then you rock to the rhythm and just don't stop. 5, 6, get up inside the mix. 7, 8, it's time to motivate. To just rock and roll, then you're rolling rock.
Welcome to another edition of Conversations of a Sister here on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Tracy Bell, and I thank you for tuning in tonight, be it online or by phone for tonight's conversation. I'm just so glad that you're joining me because I think that we're in week, 21 of this quarantine? Because although our states are slowly opening, we are still only, I don't know, I'm going to say smart enough to travel to states who are past the first surge of the coronavirus. So to some extent, we're still quarantined but allowed to travel locally, road trips. But anyway, we're talking, tonight's conversation is how this country was built on racism. And the reason why that's tonight's conversation is because that's the conversation. That's the conversation online. That's the conversation in the media. That's the conversation in corporate world. We're talking racism. Ever since the death of George Floyd, racism has been the topic of conversation. So when I was talking to a friend of mine a couple of nights ago, they were like, are you kidding? This country was built on racism. So I was like, let's take a look at that. So we did. And I want you to know that it began with 246 years of legal slavery here in these United Snakes of America, Cup. 246 years of legal slavery in which wealth was extracted from the lives of African-American individuals. At the time of the Civil War, there were close to 4 million African-Americans enslaved, 13% of America's total population. After the war, institutional injustices focused on stealing their land and jobs to ensure that they never build wealth. I mean, the economy we have today, truth be told, was built on racism. This racism has a systematic inconsistency in this country. Slavery launched modern capitalism and turned the United States into the wealthiest country in the world. I mean, the nation paid reparations, but they paid those reparations to slaveholders, not slaves. I'm going to say that again. The nation paid reparations to slaveholders, meaning masters, slave owners, slaveholders, not slaves. So there was no 40 acres in a mule. There were no 40 acres in a mule. And this is something that President Andrew Johnson overturned. He overturned General Sherman's famous promise, which would have redistributed roughly 400 million acres to newly freed black families. But guess what? It never happened. On April 16, 1862, President Abraham Lincoln signed a bill ending slavery in the District of Columbia. And when this was done, he provided $300 per slave for compensation, but to slave owners, to former slave owners. Slave harvested cotton dominated the 19th century, their international market. Cotton made about 40 cents when it ended up in New York City as a supplied insurance. And when 40 cents of cotton ended up in New York as the city supplied insurance, it also supplied shipping and financing. So the laws allowed police to sweep up black men and rent them out as convict laborers. So if you were arrested as a black man back then, you were rented out as a convict laborer. So following the war, convict leasing programs shifted the southern prison population to predominantly black people. So the emancipation did not bring economic freedom to former slaves. Yet, the former slaves were the ones doing the labor and working the cotton fields. But they got no economic recovery. Mm-hmm. So tonight's conversation, this country was built on racism. On racism. At the outbreak of the Civil War, the market value of slaves in the United States exceeded that of banks, factories, and railroads combined. Currency in circulation at that time was $450 million. Yet, discriminatory business policies kept white people economically ahead and black people economically back. Not black, but back. B-A-C-K, back. Black codes were enacted to stop African Americans from owning their own businesses. I mean, business licensing fees under black codes in 1870 was $100 for black entrepreneurs. And guess what it was for white entrepreneurs? $0. Zero. So if you wanted a licensing fee as an African American in 1870, you had to pay $100. Mm-hmm. But if you were white, you paid $0. Social safety nets at the time, that missed African Americans. Social Security originally excluded domestic and agricultural workers. Why? Because they were mostly African Americans. And this was done especially in the South. 70 to 80% of African Americans were ineligible for Social Security in 1935. That was only a year before my father was born. So discriminatory policies then kept African Americans from receiving help that other citizens received, but African Americans didn't get it. Racist policies contributed to the decline of black farmers. By 1982, which was not that long ago, only 1.5% of farmers were black. In the USDA's Civil Rights Office, which investigated loan programs on discrimination, ironically, it was closed. So that resulted in African Americans have not been able to get a foothold in the economy, because for every dollar of assets white households have, black households have a dime. And that was the income gap in the 1970s. For those who may be just tuning in, we're talking how this country was built on racism. African Americans have barely any of the nation's wealth, and therefore little to pass down to future generations, because we don't have wealth. You know, there are no black Rockefellers. You know, we have some rich black people, but they don't have wealth. Economists estimate that up to 80% of lifetime wealth accumulation depends on intergenerational transfers. So national wealth owned by African Americans in 1865 was just 0.5%. And after emancipation and in 1990, 1.0% of a full 125 years after emancipation. So money meant for distressed homeowners then supported segregation. Because in 1933, the Homeowners Loan Corporation was created, and it was created to help more than 1 million homeowners. 1 million homeowners. And these were government loans to avoid foreclosure. So, guess what? 1 million loans were distributed, but they were distributed to white Americans. Zero loans went to blacks who lived in white neighborhoods. So we can only guess that those homes were foreclosed on. Martin Luther King Jr. calculated that making good on the promise of 40 acres and a mule, which would be $20 a week since the late 1700s, for 400 million slaves. And he calculated that that would total $800 billion. And he said in one of his speeches, they owe us a lot of money. That's what he said. They owe us a lot of money. So in 1860, over $3 billion was the value assigned to the physical bodies of enslaved black Americans to be used as free labor in production. So this was more money than was invested in factories and railroads combined. Because in 1861, the value placed on cotton produced by enslaved blacks was $250 million. So slavery enriched white slave owners and their descendants, and it fueled the country's economy while suppressing wealth building for those enslaved African Americans, for those enslaved black people. Yeah, it's a nice conversation. This country was built on racism, and I am telling you how. The United States has yet to compensate descendants of enslaved black Americans for their labor, nor has the federal government atoned for the lost equity from anti-black housing, transportation, and business policies. Slavery, Jim Crow segregation, anti-black practices like redlining and other discriminatory public policies and criminal justice, and not just criminal justice, but the education system, they've all robbed black Americans of the opportunities to build wealth, defined as assets minus debt afforded to their white peers. So when you hear today, because it is talk today, that there should be reparations paid as a political justice, the concept argued is that reparations should be paid to the descendants of slaves. To the descendants of slaves. And that these reparations are being proposed, and they have been proposed, but have never been made or paid. So in contrast, as I stated, slave owners received compensated emancipation. The money that governments paid slave owners. When slavery was abolished as compensation for loss of their property, these slave owners were compensated. They received reparations. So central to the idea of the American dream lies an assumption that we all have an equal opportunity to generate the kind of wealth that brings meaning to the words life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And, you know, this is boldly pinned in the Declaration of Independence. But that didn't apply to us. Black people, that is. And when I say us, I'm talking African American. Black people. The American dream, it pretends that with hard work, a person can own a home, start a business, and grow a nest egg for generations to draw upon. Yeah. This belief, however, has been defied repeatedly by the United States government. And it's been defied by their own decrees that denied wealth-building opportunities to black Americans. Yeah. We're talking how this country was built on racism. Today, the average white family has roughly 10 times the amount of wealth as the average black family. White college graduates have over 7 times more wealth than black college graduates, making the American dream an equitable reality. But in order to do that, it demands that the same U.S. government that denied wealth to black people restore that deferred wealth through reparations to their descendants in the form of individual cash payments in the amount that will close the black-white racial wealth divide in this country. That's the only thing that's going to do it. In addition to those reparations, they should come in the form of wealth-building opportunities that address racial disparities in education, housing, and business ownership. I mean, don't get me wrong. Recessions impact everyone, but wealth is distributed quite evenly in the United States of America. The hopefully inadequacy of a government-sponsored safety net was made apparent in the wake of economic disasters such as the 2008 housing crisis and natural ones like Hurricane Katrina in 2005. Those who can draw upon the equity in a home, savings, and securities those were the ones who were able to recover faster after economic downturns than those without wealth. So the lack of social safety net and the racial wealth divide are currently on display today. How, you may ask, amid the coronavirus crisis? Listen at what's being said. They affect African Americans especially because we have low-paying jobs. We're on the front line. So disparities in access to health care, along with inequities in economic policies, combine to make black people more vulnerable to negative consequences than white individuals. I'm so sorry to have to put it so blunt and so plainly, but given the lingering legacy of slavery on the racial wealth gap here in America, the monetary value we know that was placed on enslaved blacks, the fact that other groups have received reparations, and the fact that blacks were originally awarded reparations only to have them rescinded, provided overwhelming evidence that it is time to pay reparations to the descendants of enslaved black Americans. Descendants of slaves, it's time to pay those reparations. It's talk, it's mentioned, people are saying that they want what's due, you know, we're going to hold the black vote hostage, but we need the talk of reparations. I mean, is the Bank of Justice bankrupt? We have yet to see otherwise. Until then, I just shared with you how this country was built on racism. And if you want to break it down to just short words to what was just said, the economic wealth in this country is off balance. Whites are more wealthier than blacks. Whites have wealth. Blacks have riches. That's the breakdown of how this country was built on racism. There you have it. So, as always, I thank you for tuning in. You can like and follow us on Facebook at Conversations of a Sister, or join the conversation that are always happening on my blog at conversationsofasister.com. Tonight, we kind of sound off for the summer. Kind of. We're going to do what we call pop-up shows. We will have a live show when the conversation is heated and the conversation is needed. Until next time, live life with no regrets. Be well.
Take me and to keep. The sea. I don't have much to bring. My heart is torn in pieces. It's my offering. Take me to the King.
Truth is, I'm tired. Options are few. I'm trying to pray, but where are you? I'm all churched out, hurt and abused. I can't face what's left to do.
Come on.
Truth is, I'm no strength to fight, no tears to cry, even if I try, but still my soul refuses to die. What touch will change my life? Take me. Don't have much to breathe. don't have much to bring. My heart's torn to pieces. It's my all.